You'll find in front of you an authorized version of the Holy Scripture in the English language. Pick it up and turn with me to the third chapter, the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till I return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was a mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin, and clothed them. And the Lord said, God said, behold, a man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. May God bless his word to every heart, and may we hearken unto it in deed and in truth. Father, bless now the preaching of thy holy word. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost, I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, amen. You may be seated. This evening, I want to preach on this subject: how the devil receives his seekers versus how the Lord welcomes his guests. No greater contrast can be imagined between the devil's reception of those deluded that seek after him, and how the Lord Jesus welcomes those that respond to his gospel invitation. I am taking two portions of Scripture to highlight the contrast which is so graphic and so startling. One is the portion of Scripture that I read to you, the third chapter of the book of Genesis. And the other is a verse from the third chapter of the book of the Revelation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. We are dealing tonight, and we will soon learn with stark, what is the stark difference between these two receptions? The reception that the devil gives deluded souls as they seek after him, and the glorious welcome of pardon, peace, and life everlasting, which the Lord Jesus Christ gives to those that respond to his invitation. The devil's reception is the darkness of the midnight of hell. The Lord's reception is the light of the midday of heaven. What a contrast. The devil's reception is a war unto death. The Lord's reception is peace unto everlasting life. The devil's reception will end in the perdition of the lost soul. The Lord's reception will end in everlasting paradise of the soul redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Let us look now closely at the reception of the devil. I want you to ponder with me tonight the tragedy of the sinless woman Eve, and how she was robbed and ruined and reprobated by Satan himself. The surroundings of the meeting between the serpent and Eve were exceptional indeed. All was light in the garden. All had the light of sinlessness and perfect purity. At the start of the conversation, there was only one black and damning spot in the whole picture, and that was Satan's intent to destroy this sinless woman, and through her fall, the sinless man who was her husband. However, the same serpent had cunningly sought to conceal his real identity. Uncovered was his real fallen and polluted nature when he opened his mouth. His words spoke a hellish slander of his maker. His attack was against God's word. That first attack led the rotten, hellish foundation upon which Satan attacked what? The truthfulness of God. Genesis chapter 3. And what do we read there? We read concerning the serpent that he was more subtle than any beast of the field. And we also read there how he tempted Eve with the words, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." And the woman was completely and totally paralyzed when the power of Satan fell upon her. The attack was against God's holy word. That first attack had the rotten, polluted foundation of the devil's lie. And it was that foundation which Satan always attacks, the truthfulness of God. And as he broke the purity of Eve with an attack upon the truthfulness of God, so he is doing now in the century in which we live. To undermine faith in God's integrity is the work of the devil. Satan's final aim is to destroy entirely man's trust in his Maker. Unbelief of God is hell's great weapon against the thrice holy Jehovah. It is the creature's departure from faith in God which robs the creature of peace, comfort, joy, and sends the sinner farther away from God and nearer to hell. That is the great strike of death which Satan employs to destroy the souls of men and women. Here in Genesis, we have the devil's first throw. It certainly knocked Eve right out, and afterwards Adam right out as well. Satan is not to be engaged in any conversation whatsoever. No man ever won the argument from his perverted tongue. The Lord rebuke thee is the only language which silences Satan. To argue with Satan is to take the road to your own total defeat and everlasting hell. To resist and rebuke the devil is the way to defeat, totally defeat the devil. The Lord rebuke thee, Satan, is the way which makes Satan fear and flee. When Eve was caught up in debate with Satan, she was very soon overcome. Fascination of the satanic wonders led to her undoing. She stopped. She was mystified. For here a serpent that she knew never spoke was speaking, and speaking strange things. So she turned aside in her folly to hear the strange things which the serpent was speaking. These led her to heed the devil, to hearken to his words. Listening to the devil, she was taken up with an act of folly which turned her into a woman who was tampering with God's holy and unalterable truth. This was a road to perdition. Satan was quite clear in his hatred of God. Note his first words. You will find them in verse 1 of chapter 3. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Notice the twist of the devil. He presented God's commandment in a twisted way so that you could take out of it that God was judging Adam and Eve and not giving them the right to eat of every tree of the garden. Whereas the command of God was that all the trees were open to them, but one tree, the tree of good and evil. Notice how the woman responded. She said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Do you notice that the first thing she did, she added to God's word? God's word has not to be tampered with, but she added to it. God said, you have not to eat of that tree. But she said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Anything that adds to God's word tempers with its eternal veracity. And then the serpent came in right away, and he told her that God was speaking lies. Ye shall not surely die. God had said, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. But the devil said, ye shall not surely die. The last words of the devil in conversation with a tempted soul is to destroy faith in the word of the living God. And he went on to say that God knew that if they took of the forbidden fruit, they would be made like God. Instead, when they took of the forbidden fruit, they were made like the devil. So then we have the slippery ground upon which Eve stood. She was about to fall. And we read, when the woman saw the tree was good for food. There's the lust of the eye. And that it was pleasant to the eye. There's the lust of the soul. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. The lust of the appetite. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And she gave to her husband, and he did eat. I can hear the dark roll of the bells of judgment as Eve takes that forbidden fruit and puts it to her lips and chews it. And as she forces it upon her husband. And back came the great doors of darkness and of hell. And a world that was paradise was changed in a second of time to a place where sin ruled, sin controlled, and Satan was triumphant. But as a result, there was immediate punishment. For when Adam and Eve looked at themselves, they saw that they were poor, lost, naked sinners. And they said, we must cover it up. So they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Those sentences that are brief and solemn relate the story of what the devil does with anyone that goes to follow after him. You will notice that God in his grace didn't leave them perishing. That God in his grace started the work of reaching them and rescuing them from the power of the devil. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. That's a special word, isn't it? Who ever saw a voice walking? But the voice walked in the garden because Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Jesus Christ's title is the Word of God. Who was it in the garden that walked seeking after two lost souls? It was none other than the Savior, the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. He didn't come in the heat of the day to judge them. He came in the cool of the day to rescue them from the grip and deception of the devil. But poor lost souls, they hid themselves from the only person that could save them. And my, there are those tonight, even in this meeting, who hide themselves from the Savior who alone can save them. For sin is always the same in its working, in its confusion, and in its reprobation. The Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord said, God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. There was God's curse on the serpent that lent itself and its body to be incarnated by Satan, the devil of the ages. We come to verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. And then this amazing statement. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The only hope of deliverance was that the death that by right should have been Adam's and Eve's was taken by another, and that substitute saved them from the hell and darkness that they rightly deserved. Oh, thank God for the one who took the bruising of his heel in order to break the devil's head and save us from the everlasting judgment of hell. And then you will notice that the woman got her punishment, and that was multiplication of sorrow and conception and a desire to be first when she was placed second. And then comes Adam, and he too is judged, and the fruit of his hands, what is the fruit of his hands? Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat of the herb of the field, and in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. And you're going to go back to the ground. You will return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Then came this wonderful verse. Adam also unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. The first thing that God did was to let the blood flow. For there is no redemption for any of us except the blood of the sacrifice is shed. And then Adam and Eve were removed from the garden. God says he put forth his hand and he judged them and sent him forth. Verse 23. And then we read in the next verse, he drove them out. Punishment had to be meted out. But the punishment led to a new paradise. A paradise where the angel kept the gate and the flaming sword kept the way to the tree of life. Sinner, heed not the lies of hell. Take no notice to the voice of the devil. Turn to Christ, for in him alone is pardon and life everlasting. So much for the reception that Satan gives to those that are caught up in his deception. But what do we read in the third chapter of the book of the Revelation? We read these words. The words of the Lord Jesus. And he has something to say. What are they? Verse 20 Revelation chapter 3. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. What a wonderful word this is. A word of grace, a word of pardon, and a word of salvation. We read here, first of all, of what God does when he sends his Son in search of sinners. Notice the first thing is patience. Behold, I stand. How long has he been standing at your door, sinner friend? What patience has he taken to convince you that you need him and he alone can be your Savior? Behold, I stand. And then it goes on and it says, I stand at the door. That door doesn't open from the outside. It can only be unlocked in the inside. And the Christ who has patience, he says, I stand at the door. I could break that door in. I could speak a word that would break its hinges and its lock. But I don't do that. I stand in the door and knock. How long has the blessed Son of God knocked at your door? And then thirdly, behold, I stand at the door and knock. There you have his predominance. He keeps knocking. I'm glad he didn't leave my door. I'm glad through the years that I spent rejecting him, he did not utter the word farewell. But the blessed, gracious Son of God, he kept knocking at the door. So we have his patience, his persistency, and his predominance. Yes. But we also have his persuasion. What does he say? If any man hear my voice and open the door. I was thinking this afternoon of the last time that Christ spoke before the cross of his speech. And he says, one day there will be a great judgment, and all men and women and boys and girls of every age shall stand before me. And I will place to the right hand the sheep. And I will place on the left hand the goats. And to those in the right hand I will say, come ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom of heaven. But to those who are on the left-hand side, I will say, depart from me, ye cursed. What is the last word you're going to hear from the lips of the Lord Jesus? Is it going to be, come, come, come? Or is it going to be, depart, depart, depart? If any man hear my voice and open the door. And then we have this great promise. I will come in. What a promise is that? Into the house that rejected him. Into the person that turned the key against him for years. Through the door that carried the chains for many years. He's going to come in. What a promise is that? And let me say from this pulpit tonight that Christ never ever breaks his word. The devil's word can't be trusted, but thank God, Christ's word can be trusted. And Christ said, I will come in through the door that you have opened. Yours is the opening of the door. But the opening of the door doesn't save you. It's my coming in through the open door that makes you the child of God that you ought to be. And then we find the prospect. I will sup with him. Suddenly, the Lord becomes the host. He doesn't say, the man that opened the door will sup with me first. No. I will first sup with him. Oh, how wonderful is the first time a poor sinner sups with Jesus. I remember well the day when I first supped with my Lord. What a day it was. A day of joy. A day of peace, a day of sins forgiven, a day of happiness and eternal rest. I will sup with him. And then look with me lastly. There's not only the prospect of Christ supping with us, but it says, I will sup with him and he with me. And paradise has begun again. And at the end of this chapter, the third chapter of Genesis, we come again to the cherubim. We come again to the tree of life. And we come again to that sword that fell on the heart of Christ and bruised his heel. And heaven begins again for the soul that's washed in the blood of the Lamb. What a happy thing it is to be received by Christ, welcomed by the Lord Jesus, and rejoicing in his goodness. Don't keep the door locked. Don't keep Christ knocking. Don't put your pressure on the patience of the Son of God. Turn while his Spirit in mercy is pleading. And steer for the harbor bright. For how do you know? But your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we pray for every man, woman, and child that heard this message tonight. May they not keep the door locked. May they take off the chains and open the door. May they welcome you in. And thank God you have promised to come in. And you have promised to sup with us. And you have promised that we'll sup with you. May there be no closed doors as we leave this service, but may every heart be opened to the Son of God. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, Amen. Amen.